top.
This is Studio 360.
100 years from today.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for a special episode of the Studio 360 program. This is your host, Kurt Anderson. In today's program, we present to you through the medium of radio some singular developments taking place in the arts today. In literature, drama, music, and the medium of moving pictures, new technologies and new ideas are changing what we, the American people, create and how we are entertained. Some of these new innovations appear startling at first, but we believe they hold great promise for the development of a truly modern culture in the United States. It may not be too bold to speculate that later generations will look back upon 1914 as a remarkable year, perhaps as the year in which the 20th century truly began. We begin with a man familiar to Americans young and old, though most of us would not recognize him if we met in the street. Winsor McCay is a cartoonist for the Hearst newspapers. He's achieved a singular reputation among his peers as the creator of Little Nemo, a scamp who climbs high-rise buildings in his dreams. Now Mr. McCay is experimenting with a new technique that combines drawing with moving pictures to create a cartoon which moves before our eyes. To understand it and Mr. McKay's work better, we shall hear now from Art Spiegelman, himself a writer and graphic artist of renown.
The comic is such an urban form because it's made of...
Buildings. High-rises.
Yeah, it's made of these stacked-up little windows, you know? So it's almost specific to the Sunday comics, which came before the daily comics.
Winsor McCay was particularly interested in the new skyscrapers and the people in them, what it meant to be a modern office drone.
He approached the comics very personally, and you can see the reverb between his daily life and the comics that he was making, like an early strip he did called A Pilgrim's Progress is about this top-hatted guy carrying a suitcase that's called Dull Care, and he just tries to get rid of the dull care and just leave it somewhere and run away, and by the end of the strip, it's delivered back to him. There's no escaping his yoke of the day job.
So McKay started playing around with something new, animation. He created some of the first cartoon movies ever. He started by adapting characters from his comic strips, like Little Nemo. But in 1914, he got more ambitious. He created an original character called Gertie the Dinosaur. He'd show a Gertie film in a theater and appear live on stage with it, interacting with his cartoon on the screen.
Yeah, and there's one moment where he's throwing... toss a giant pumpkin, then it would appear as a tiny little pea-sized thing that would... be gulped down as a snack by Gertie.
At the time, dinosaurs were still a pretty new and unfamiliar idea to people. Art Spiegelman and I watched the silent film together on YouTube. It's a simple line drawing. There are little cards in the spots where McKay would have spoken to Gertie. He coaxes her out of the cave. She's shy and, for a brontosaurus, kind of dainty.
It was definitely performative. Originally, there were no real movie theaters, so it was part of vaudeville.
But wasn't there a Nickelodeon industry? He could
it
have
probably
shipped
was.
This out to the
it
Nickelodeon.
Probably was, but he was already a successful vaudeville star. He was known as the lightning sketch artist, and part of it would be a spotlight appears on the audience member who stands up and volunteers. Then the lights would go out a few seconds later, and in the dark, McKay would draw that person's portrait. That was part of his act.
Uh-huh.
And this then became part of the act as well.
I mean, again, it's in a certain sense primitive, but not really. The emotion this dinosaur dancing around.
Yeah, it's like a puppy.
Yeah. And he kind of invented the method of animation that Walt Disney, 7 years later, started making his shorts. And
well, they owed a lot to him. But
but
he wasn't the very first. In
right.
fact, he worked for a couple of the people who were also among the pioneers, but he upped the ante greatly. McKay was a very significant practitioner in perfecting things like, being able to peg the drawing so you could get the background just right when you drew it again, like so the next drawing would be in exactly the same spot on the piece of paper when you were shooting that one, and inventing this notion of keyframes where you'd take the high points and then fill in between, things like that. And he didn't want to patent his inventions. He thought this was a gift to the world for a new art form.
And his boss, William Randolph Hearst, stopped him from doing this.
A jealous boss.
Why was that? You'd think it would be brand extension. It would be good for everybody.
You know, Hearst had wars to fight that were brand extensions, you know. So the main thing was he thought this guy was slacking off on what he could deliver for the newspaper. And in fact, you know, what he would do when he had the vaudeville act is he'd be doing his strips for Hearst in the green room, basically. It didn't suffer for it. He was an absolutely committed artist.
But for all this multimedia commercial razzle-dazzle, as you say, he thought animation was an art. And I've read, was upset when it became commercialized and when Max Fleischer made Betty Boop cartoons.
Well, Max Fleischer introduced him at some kind of evening to honor his contribution to animation late in McKay's life. And for whatever reason, he started in a rant about this has just been turned into a business and it was always meant to be an art. And he was rather excoriating of the people who had let that happen.
So do you think 100 years from now, a couple of guys like us will be sitting around talking about Winsor McKay? Does he have a permanent legacy?
Well, you know, they just are things that remind me of something that Steinberg once said to my wife, who's the art editor up at the New Yorker.
This is Saul Steinberg.
Yeah, who famous for his view of U.S. from 9th Avenue, among many other things. But what he was saying, my goal is to make something that once you've seen it, you cannot ever have not seen it. That it informs your way of seeing after that. And that seems like as good a goal as any for an artist to work from. And I believe that McKay accomplished that quite a few times over.
Thank you, Professor Spiegelman. Art Spiegelman is the creator of Mouse and In the Shadow of No Towers. You can find a video of Winsor McKay's animated dinosaur Gertie at studio360.org.